Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast, a conversation that changes the way you view all relationships, whether married, single, parent, or professional. Discover the relationship secret hidden in plain sight. And now the intersection of theology and psychology. Conversations between pastor
and psychologist.
They are father and son. Your hosts, Emerson and Jonathan Egerich.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast. I'm Jonathan Egerich, as always, joined by my father, Emerson Egerich. We're so glad you could be with us this week as we enter into episode 57 of the podcast. And this one is titled, Dear God, Change My Husband. And this was actually a couple months ago, a blog post. We'll do something similar, but a little bit different here. But this one had tremendous traction. I believe it was titled a little bit differently, Why Won't My Husband Change? But you received quite a bit of feedback on this one, a tremendous response to it. But this was initially prompted by a response on Facebook, I guess, to something else that you'd written previously. And so you ended up writing something in response to that. So we'll jump right into that in a minute here. But first, just a reminder to those out there, 56 episodes exist at loveandrespectpodcast.com. You can go check all those out. If you haven't already, last week's episode was titled When Parenting, The Punishment Must Fit the Crime. Part two, that was a two-part series that we did. So if you haven't had a chance to check out part two after you checked out part one about a month ago, you know, please do so and share with others. Again, a tremendous thank you to those of you that have hopped over on iTunes, Stitcher, and other places and given us the positive four or five star rating or left us a review as well. We really appreciate that as it helps us gain momentum and traction. So without further ado, though, let's jump into today's episode, again titled, Dear God, Change My Husband. I think this came about, Dad, as I mentioned, you often go through comments on the blog, comments on social media, and review them. And obviously there's too many to review them all, but this one kind of caught your eye. And a woman wrote, and I guess let me ask you, do you remember what she was writing in response to at the time, where this comment?
No, that's a good question. Actually, I don't, and mm-hmm. But I do appreciate the fact when people write, and that we had a tremendous response to this topic, and substantively so. I mean, sometimes people on Facebook just say amen or thank you or good stuff, needed that. But in this particular post, there was this engagement, and you can kind of tell. I mean, and men in particular as well. So I appreciate the response, and I appreciate those of you listening when you make comments. It's very helpful. And now this particular woman made some comments that caught me in a different way, and that's why I wrote this blog, because I think it's important, and we'll take a look at it. In fact, why don't you read what she said, Jonathan, mm-hmm. because her husband's a pastor, and that caught my eye even more.
Sure. Well, and let me first add, because we just had a conversation, you know, as we were deciding in the last couple of days what we were going to do for this week's podcast and next week's podcast, you again asked me, you know, have we been fair and balanced here recently, right? Have we been, you know, either on a topic of parenting or on a kind of a generic topic, or, you know, have we been balanced between husbands and wives? And I think we make a conscious, you know, choice, you know, to do that. But as you, this woman's, you know, comment, you know, caught your eye in the same way, whether on the blog or Facebook or whatever, men's comments, you know, catch your eye too. And you respond to emails. And we've even talked about doing that for next week's episode as well, responding to some comments from a man. So, you know, this one obviously, I think, applies to both the husband and the wife, as we hope they all do, right? But we're taking a particular focus on this woman's comments from Facebook. And so,
right, because there are these gender leanings. I mean, many women feel like they want their husbands to change, and many husbands feel like they're not good enough and their wives want them to change. There are exceptions to that. You know, the women who feel, you know, my husband doesn't accept me for who I am, particularly when it deals with weight issues or those kinds of things. But by and large, the emotional relationship, the sentiment is he needs to change and he hasn't changed. And we're going to look next week at the idea of this wife leaving and the husband is in shock and in crisis and kind of not atypical. It's kind of like he wakes up after she leaves, he's not picking up on any of the clues or the cues, and it's like he's in complete shock. And typically, that's a male issue. That doesn't mean that there aren't men who leave and women are in shock. I get that, particularly on the respect message, but there are some gender specifics here, and we want to highlight them that way, though they, to your point, apply across the board. And our hope and our prayer always is that we're fair and balanced. Maybe our goal is that we want everybody to be equally mad at us.
Sure. Well, here's this woman's comment as we jump into today's episode. She wrote a brief comment that says, "You pray and God doesn't change him. You take him to counseling and you change, but he doesn't. You show respect and he doesn't. You accept and live with the promise you made."
Mm-hmm. There it was. And she had identified her husband as that pastor before. She's, "My husband's a minister." And then she says what she just said here. And, you know, in my first response is I empathized with the hurt and frustration. You know, I mean, you could interpret this as an overstatement, you know, but she's trying to send a message more deeply that she's in pain. She's trying to do everything she can. She's given 110%, and it just doesn't seem to be working. And many women, you know, find themselves bewildered, you know, on how to help and heal their marriages. I mean, they give and give and give and give and give and give. They yearn to connect with their husbands. They yearn for this enjoyment of the friendship, and it just doesn't seem to be going anywhere. But as I read her words, Jonathan, something slipped out in her comments, which may serve as a clue to her as to why her husband is not responding. And this can serve as a tremendous clue to every wife listening who wants her husband to change. And that can be an altruistic motivation, but it can be a very subtle self-delusion. You're not seeing some things here, and it's the very thing that you're not seeing that's causing him to close off, and you're totally confused because you don't see it. Now, I can be wrong in this woman's situation because I don't know her and I don't want to read more into it, but I'm bringing to her words my, you know, 45 years of experience of dealing with men and women in these situations, and I have a hunch I'm right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think that was my first response too as I read. I mean, especially for somebody wouldn't always be the case, but to, you know, just somebody, please hear me, right? I mean, to post that. I mean, she's mm-hmm. hurting, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so there's that side. And so now you're trying to make kind of broad-based, you know, I think principled, you know, responses without, we obviously don't know all the context and the history and all that there. But I think this will be meaningful.
Well, I think, you know, she could be the innocent one, but let's just take those words at face value that, you know, that she indeed, you know, prayed that, but God doesn't change him. So God doesn't change him. You know, we're going to point out that that's a pretty heavy, heavy statement. You take him to counseling. What? You take him to counseling? You took him? Would you grab him by the back of the shirt? I mean, what are we saying here? You take him to counseling and you change, but he doesn't. In other words, he doesn't change and become what you want him to be, but you do, and you show him respect, but, you know, he doesn't really respond to that. You accept and live with the promise you made. Now, all of that could be very innocent and very wholesome, but, you know, wow, it can also be very responsive. It could really be revealing, I should say, as to why he's shutting down. And the feedback we got from both men and women on this, very powerful. In fact, we're going to read from some women who said, "I am that woman, and let me tell you the mistake I made." So that's why I'm a little emboldened, you know, to say what I'm saying, because these comments, women are saying, "This lady was off base, and I'm going to tell you why, and I'm a woman." So it's not just a male saying that. But let me say up front, women do see themselves as sweet. They see themselves as sensitive. They see themselves as susceptible. They see themselves as submissive. And all of that is true. That self-image is true. There is a great deal of truth in that. But they don't sometimes see what has been referred to as the brick in the velvet glove. You know, they're just softly stroking that velvet glove and backhand him, and it's like a brick in the face, but she doesn't see it. The husbands are stunned, you know, they feel like they're emotionally bleeding, but because the men don't cry, you know, and he just tightens up, then she gets even tougher with him and doesn't see what she just did. Men shut down and refuse to engage, which I know upsets every woman who's married. I mean, that leaves women bewildered. There's no question about that. But the women increase their negative comments on the heels of that. And when the husbands hear these words, it feels like a boulder dropped on their heads. And many of these wives simply don't see the crushed spirit because he cloaks the pain. And then she says he's arrogant, he's prideful, he's angry. And so he goes even more silent and withdraws. And then the silent treatment ravages her. She feels rolled over by him as her evil bulldozer, you know. And then, you know, he mistreats me, he hurts me, he doesn't talk to me, he's abusive. And you see this kind of pattern going on. And she feels more comfortable in declaring her husband as a lost cause. I mean, he's just, there's no hope here. He declares to a million people on Facebook, you pray and God doesn't change him. You take him to counseling and you change, but he doesn't. So what's striking you so far, Jonathan?
Well, I think, you know, resonating with, you're trying to describe some classic patterns here, right? That whether it's, you know, kind of your own, you know, understanding of what you've seen with men and women over the years, or even kind of the social, you know, science, you know, research and how men and women engage or disengage with each other, right? So we're taking this example from this woman, which is powerful. We've stated we don't know all the facts or the context, and yet does this apply to patterns that you see, that even I see, you know, in my practice, right? Of, you know, whether it's the pursuer and the withdrawer, you know, whether it's the demands being made and the going silent. You know, I think so. I think you're trying to capture some of these mm-hmm. these broad mm-hmm. patterns and send out, you know, some warnings, I guess, but also some hope. How do we address this issue if it's going on within our relationship?
That's right. Yeah. Well, no, and I don't give hope. I open people up on the surgical table and leave them to bleed
sure,
to death.
Sure, I've learned that about you, yes.
But I mean, in this case, you see clearly that, you know, I'm sure this husband disengaged emotionally, this pastor. You could argue that he fears her judgment. He fears the control. I mean, wow. Is there an emotional disconnection? Because, you know, she's really contributing to this, and she's actually doing the very thing that she doesn't want to happen. And read this comment that I referenced earlier that a woman sent in response to this woman. Quote her here.
So this other woman says, "That's typical because a wife is looking at all his flaws and refusing to address her own. I know this because that's how I was. And now God has shown me that the wife, me, is typically at least 50% at fault."
And I commented, you know, I'm not always going to subscribe to the 50-50. You know, there are wicked husbands out there. There are wicked husbands who are 110% guilty. There are Judases out there around the Jesuses. And I'm not going to pretend that that's not the case. And my mom left my dad for 5 years, separated because of, you know, the potential difficulties and dangers in that relationship. And you know, dad would acknowledge that he overdid it and he contributed to this. And so I get that. So these folks are not, you know, 100% to blame. It's not a 50-50 thing. But let's consider for a moment that this woman who's commenting on this other woman is correct, that this other woman is truly fixated on her husband's flaws while overlooking her own. And I know this is a pattern for women because they'll write their 6 or 8 things about their husbands that bother them. You can sense the list, and she's doing it not because she's trying to put her husband down, but she's seeking help from me because these are the issues she's dealing with. And one of the things I will have her do is write out 10 things about her husband that are positive. And women will write back, "Thank you for having me do that exercise. I fell in love with my husband all over again." And again, Jonathan, women tell me they fixate on the negative. You know, women have said to me, "If I'm mad at him in one area, I'm mad at him in all areas. If he doesn't pick up his socks, I can't stand who he is as a human being." And there's this tendency to go global based on the particular. And this is a propensity in some women, and not a few women. And I would have only concluded that based on the fact that women have told me that. I wouldn't have seen that if they hadn't told me this, particularly after I've done this exercise so often and hear women say again, "Thank you for having me focus in on his positives. I just overlook them." And that is a real problem. So this gal is saying, hey, look, she's looking at all of her husband's flaws here, and she's not objective. So that's why two things hit me about this comment. And the two comments we want to make then is, one, she prayed that God would change her husband, like she has been changed. And two, she takes her husband to counseling, but he refuses to change. So Jonathan, I put this under the category called the prayers. Would you read several paragraphs there of what I read about how this woman prayed?
Sure. First, she said that she prayed God would change him. Did she kneel in prayer saying, "Dear Lord, in Jesus' name, change my husband. Make him the kind of man he ought to be. Help him become like me in this marriage." She said, "You pray and God doesn't change him. You change, but he doesn't." In other words, she expects him to change as she has changed. She did her part. He needs to do his part. Fair is fair. But on a deeper spiritual dimension, God failed to change him. So, I mean, I think some questions are, what does that mean? Did he resist God, right? Or does it mean God resisted her? Or are both true?
That's right. And so there's where it kind of slipped out a little bit. God did not change him. Either that makes the husband a serious problem. He's a pastor. He's resisting Almighty God, or God is impotent at some level, not hearing her prayers. So she underneath may have a little problem with God. And many women and men have told me that at the end of the day, they really struggle with God. This is about feeling that God's not coming through for me. And that's a pretty strong conclusion in light of the fact that Jesus said, God is Abba Father, who loves us, who is for us, who is good, who is holy, is just, is fair. And we're somehow shaking our fist at him as though he's not doing his part when we're doing ours. And that reveals a spiritual arrogance. It reveals a lack of humility. And if one begins to draw those conclusions about God, could the husband, in fact, be picking up on that kind of attitude and said, I don't want to be close to that kind of judgmentalism, that kind of spiritual judgmentalism. This person is even judging God. And so guess how I feel when I don't meet her expectations. Now, I know that women are not mean-spirited about this. That's why we say Adam disobeyed, but Eve was deceived. And one of the challenges for a woman isn't that she's overtly trying to disobey. She's really trying to do what is good, wise, and pleasurable. As Eve, she saw that fruit. It's good. It'll make me more godlike. I mean, it can be rooted in a virtue, but you end up committing all kinds of vices, and it's a challenge for all of us. You know, women, you know, I would say are very quick to say, you know, I'm not trying to be self-righteous. I'm just trying to be righteous. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm just trying to be discerning. You know, I'm not trying to be resentful. I'm just righteously indignant. And of course, we can see how careful every woman has to be. There's a fine line between being this godly, righteous woman and moving into self-righteousness, being this very discerning woman and moving into a judgmentalism, and being very hurt, angry, and righteously indignant, but then moving into a sinful resentment and even bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
Do those make sense?
Yeah, they do. I mean, I think what comes to mind for all of us, whether men or women, right? I mean, you know, there's this, you know, sometimes we get into relationships and the hope is, you know, I'm gonna eventually change this person. They've got some flaws and I'm gonna change them, and it doesn't end up happening. But we also have expectations, you know, with what the relationship is going to be, and then something doesn't meet those expectations, or we believe God has, you know, promised us that this is, you know, what our life is going to look like, and it doesn't turn out that way on the relational level. And, you know, there's discontent, there's dissatisfaction, right? There's, you know, there's bewilderment, and, you know, and so, you know, obviously we're talking in very kind of, you know, broad, you know, but areas, but this is what people think, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm 20 years exactly into my marriage, and this isn't what you promised me, God. Right?
That's exactly right.
And he isn't changing, and you're not changing him. And so, I mean, yeah, I'm completely, you know, tracking, you know, with you. And then, you know, obviously we've done a number of podcasts on, you know, bitterness, you know, resentment, these types of things, and that sets in, right? And then it's, you're off and running down the negativity track or the divorce, you know, route and all that. So I think this is powerful stuff.
Well, and I think, and then we see this interesting irony that, and I've said to some women, do you want a relationship with your husband? Yes. You know, I want him to change. I want this relationship with him. Are you bitter toward him and unforgiving? Yes. Are you willing to forgive him? No. Okay, so how in the world are you going to achieve your deeper objective here of having relationship with him if you maintain this unforgiving, bitter spirit? He's not going to respond. No woman's going to respond to a man who says, you know, I want a relationship with my wife, but I hate her. Well, what woman isn't going to detect that her husband hates her? And how? So you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. And the real question on the table is, what is the real truth? What is the real truth here? And if you truly want a relationship with your husband, then you're going to have to let go of some of these judgmental attitudes and get a little bit more humble and not be afraid of getting hurt again and not believing you're an absolute victim and that you're a hopeless, helpless individual, that you have a power here that we want to remind you as we bring this to a close in a few minutes. But you're going to have to kind of come to grips, because what you're doing is you're sabotaging the very thing you're saying that you want. You're shaking your fist in your husband's face saying, love me. And it doesn't work. You know, it's like I've said before, you stab him in both eyes with two daggers in your hands and you scream at him, look at me, look at me. It's not going to work. And that metaphor is pretty drastic, but a lot of people have responded, wow, thank you for that. That really spoke to my heart. But the deal is, she's not recognizing, you know, this spiritual dimension in her own situation. And she's going to have to come to grips with, you know, how is she praying? Why is she praying that way? And I would just encourage a woman just to be a little bit more humble. Lord, go deeper in my own heart on this. I can only control my actions and reactions to my son, my husband. I can't control the outcomes in him. Lord, that's ultimately your decision. And I'm not going to resent you because he's not changing. But I also, Lord, want to be reminded that maybe I'm really turning him off here. It's far more about me with my attitude of disgust, my disrespect, my contempt, my self-righteousness, and I don't see that these are thorns that are just keeping him away. You know, I'm saying, come here, get away, come here, get away. And the getaway is much more powerful, much more forceful. And the deal is, he's not unloving. The truth is, this husband of mine fears me. He fears my tongue. He fears my look. He fears my judgment. And that's really what's going on. It's not the fact that he doesn't want a relationship with you. He longs for that friendship. But let's take a look at this other dimension of counseling, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. I mean, what did she say?
She said, you take him to counseling and you change, but he doesn't.
And read what this guy said as a comment on Facebook to her statement.
He said, men love being, quote, taken to counseling. It's female speak for, please fix my stupid husband. Men here, he is the one with all the problems. He is inept. He needs help. Why does he not change like I have changed?
And ladies, we men are not inattentive. We just don't engage. You know, it's very, you know, men will come forth like this, but he represents every man. We just throw up our arms and think, you know, I don't want to talk about this. We already want to talk. I don't want to talk about it. And even if I give voice to this, this is just going to lead to an argument. But if you want to know what a lot of men feel, and the question is, are they arrogant? They could be. They could very well be narcissistic. Most all profiling that's negative is against the male. And it's going to be against your son, not your daughter-in-law. Your daughter-in-law is just going to use the word abuse against your son. And every woman in her world is going to believe her. And the question is your son abusive, or he just isn't talking and he's doing what every man does? I can't, you know, have all of the frame of references of those who are listening. But I am saying, this set of statements that this man made is powerful. Men just love being taken to counseling. And then I love it. It's female speak for, please fix my stupid husband. Now, is that how women really feel? No, but that's how men feel. Just as women know that they technically are not being abused, but they feel hurt by his words. They know he didn't intend to say it that way, but you're vulnerable to that. You're very vulnerable to the feeling of his harshness, of his anger. You have vulnerabilities, right? You have tremendous vulnerabilities. Men have vulnerabilities when we feel, you just look at us as completely inept, that we're completely stupid, and this is all about us changing. And you know what? We're just going to get stubborn. And then we know what you're going to do. You're going to profile us as even more evil. And so what happens is, two people who married madly in love, now they're just mad. And they both have goodwill, but they've, you know, put their heels in. And you talk about misunderstanding. It is not an evil-willed situation. It is a situation now totally the result of misunderstanding among two people of goodwill. And we found so much healing as I've been able to kind of unpack this for many couples and say, let me tell you what's really going on here. And you see their shoulders just kind of soften, and they droop a little bit. And, well, that's how I feel. Well, that's how I feel. I didn't intend to mean it. Well, I didn't mean that. And a healing can come. But you've got to, first of all, realize, how's this husband interpreting me? Is he really saying, this is just female speak for you concluding that I'm stupid? Jonathan, what do you feel about that?
No, I agree that that's often what I see with some of my couples who who come in, right? I think it goes both ways sometimes, but it's often, it can often be, you know, somebody's being dragged, right, into counseling, and this is the blame game, you know, begins, right? And it's a difficult, you know, path to walk, but I think there becomes a kind of a freeing moment, as you just indicated, when some of this dynamic is unpacked for people, right? That we both have things that we need to address, and can the finger pointing, you know, stop, right? And we just soften and we settle in, and it's going to take some work, but we move forward with it. I mean, I think that's what I often see.
Yeah. Well, and again, we don't know the person who's listening to the frame of reference, and you know, I know my mom wanted to engage dad, but he didn't know how to engage that. So we want to be very sensitive to the woman who's listening here, who really isn't trying to change her husband per se, but is saying, I am giving 150%. He's maybe seen some other woman. I mean, we're not talking about clear facts that indicate that this guy is committing adultery or he's violent, but that the relationship has gotten off emotionally, that there's this stubbornness on both of your parts. You're coming at him to try to change him. He's resisting that change. You're praying, but he's not responding. And so the question is, how do we interpret that? And one of the points we're making here is that not in a few cases, women begin to build the case against their husband. I know of a situation where a woman said, my husband's controlling me. I feel suffocated. I don't feel any freedom in the relationship. I'm walking on pins and needles. I feel like I'm walking on eggshells. I feel like I'm a doormat. And I said, whoa, you know, what's going on here? Well, it came down that she wanted $3,000 a month for clothing. And this humble, gentle guy said, no. She had a problem with shopaholism. But if you took what she said up front, I thought this guy was a wife beater. And when you have those kinds of encounters, it's like an absolute disbelief. How could she label this guy that way? How could it even be portrayed that way? I couldn't believe it. Now, is that an anomaly? Possibly. But boy, it serves as a great thing on both sides. Some of you men out there are judging your wives as this horrible witch, and you're saying, here's a new broom, and you are cruel as it comes, and this woman will serve you until you, if you're in a wheelchair with a stroke, she will serve you 24/7. She is godly. She is good. But you're labeling her as a witch, and some of you ladies are labeling your husband as this inept jerk, and it simply isn't in keeping with the truth. There is a misunderstanding here, and we've got to tame some of our comments. We've got to pull back on this kind of profiling. But Jonathan, let me have you read these statements and ask the listener if they agree or disagree with the following statements.
Sure, I'll go through these briefly. So there's, I don't know, 8 or 9 statements here. And
what's your gut feeling when Jonathan reads this? What would you say?
Husbands are the primary problem.
Do you agree or disagree? Gut feeling.
Men need to change. Women give 100% to change. Men do not do the work they should do on the marriage. Women are loving, whereas men are not as loving. Women are respectful, and when they are not, they really don't mean the disrespect. Women have a right to demand counseling. Women are desperate, vulnerable, and helpless. Only a third party can get through to their husbands. Women have no other recourse, so coercion is justified. Women control to neutralize the husband's stubbornness.
Mm-hmm. What was your gut response to those? And so that, I think, can be very revealing, how you lean and what your sentiments are. And we can put a woman's picture there, for instance, and she's completely innocent, he's completely guilty. I had a husband tell me he was leaving his wife, and he said, I am totally to blame here for the adultery, for what's going on. She's given 110%. I've had the guilty party tell me again and again their spouse was innocent. So again, work with us. We're trying to help the person here who is misreading the spirit of their husband, or even in case of men making application in their situation, the spirit of your wife, and making sure that things are not, I did a sermon series called Your Slip is Showing. And it's, and every woman kind of understands that. But in this case, this woman's words, it slipped out. Something slipped out that struck me as very judgmental, very self-righteous, which would be the very thing that was causing her husband to pull back from her. Jonathan, in closing, why don't you read what this one woman provided by way of a challenging set of comments to other wives?
Growing up, all I saw were strong, domineering, bullying types of women. Not a great model for me to raise sons and love my husband. I have done much to want to rule over my husband and resist his loving authority in my life. I received it as control and I resisted it. I would feel completely justified to try and manipulate, control, and get my way. He was a type A, independent, self-sufficient, but insecure man, so you could say we were in need of sanctification and God's amazing grace. I had a husband who could not trust me with his innermost thoughts for fear I would hurt him with them.
That's a very important point right there. That's, I think, what I'm trying to say.
God has gently shown me the effects of my sin against him. I'm trying to not tear my house down with my tongue and finding grace in him who has forgiven me and promises to grow me into Christ-likeness.
On that note, let me just close in prayer and then I'll give it back over to you, because I think she says that I'm trying not to tear down my house with my tongue. That's a proverb. Proverbs talks about a wife can tear down her house, but finding grace in him who has forgiven me and promises to grow me into Christ-likeness. So ladies, do not move into shame. The whole point of this is not to move you into shame, but to awaken you to an honest mistake you're making. There's a misunderstanding here. Your husband's good-willed, but he's just afraid of you. But because you are a sweet dewdrop, there's no need for him to be afraid, and he should know that you don't mean all those things you say to him. And I'm just saying that every man is vulnerable and insecure around the tongue and the sentiment and that attitude that the wife brings. Soften that. You're not going to lose any power. Just trust me here and pull back from some of these stronger statements that this lady made that we opened up with. Let's just pray for you. Father, you know this woman's heart. And the thing I love about so many women is they're so teachable, but some of them move into shame too quickly. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that this woman would not let the accuser of the brethren cause her to move way beyond what she's supposed to here. It's just a tender, tender challenge to pull back a little bit and to entrust this situation to you, that you have not given up on her, you've not given up on this marriage, but that she's let her emotions get the better of her. She's letting herself see in a truncated way. And I just pray that today would be a good reminder to her to just give this to you, to see her husband in more positive light, pull back on those things that would cause her to step over from righteousness to self-righteousness, from righteous indignation into a bitterness, and from discernment into judgment. Help her to pull back in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening and engaging us. And as always, thanks for telling and sharing others about the podcast episodes. We're honored that you would join us, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
You've been listening to the Love and Respect Podcast. For more information and additional products, go to loveandrespect.com and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Join Emerson and Jonathan next week for another episode.